Hi, folks. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Hashek. You're watching The Mark Hashek Show on Roadkill Radio. Prostitution is a daily global tragedy, and in my opinion, due to prostitution's inherent violence and indignity, it's Canada's number one human rights issue. Here in Vancouver, prostitution flourishes on the street in the downtown east side and in brothels around the city. Even after Robert Picton, who slaughtered an untold number of women from the downtown east side until he was finally arrested in 2002, the provincial government and Vancouver City Hall have done virtually nothing to help women exit prostitution. Outrageous. And now one of the only organizations in Vancouver dedicated to helping women leave prostitution may be forced to close its doors. Ty Mistry is the executive director of Peers, and she joins us now. Ty, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for this opportunity.
So, Ty, what is Peers?
Peers. Well, Peers is an organ nonprofit society that's been around for the last 10 years that is dedicated to promoting and supporting those individuals in sex trade work exit.
Now, you're
that's
a...
That's a short version of what we do.
Yeah, right. No, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So your office is located on West Pender, correct?
That's right.
So that's smack dab, well, almost smack dab in the middle of the downtown east side. So
it is. We like to refer to it as Chinatown.
Right, right.
And that is because while we do see people in downtown east side, we do have comprehensive programming for the women down there, we also see that 80% that do work, not all of them, obviously, but indoor workers and stuff, and sometimes coming to the downtown east side is a little difficult.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. So who typically walks in the front door looking for help?
Well, see, that's the thing. There's many organizations that are dedicated to helping those in the downtown east side, the most marginalized women. But we, Peers, helps anybody in the sex trade. We have comprehensive programming for men involved. We have a specific specialized program for them. We help indoor workers in a one-on-one, single mothers who might put an ad on Craigslist, people work in massage parlors, to women that, you know, that are the sort of the higher paid call girls, if you will, that come in just for a little bit of support around exiting.
So how many people are we talking about? How many people does Peers see
program,
each year?
The one that is currently being funded but will not next year, allows for about 50 people to go through the program. We get program fees for 50 of them. With traffic, a few people withdrawing here and there for different reasons, we see about 70 people in our program. But we do a lot of outreach. We do specific male outreach, so their outreach workers see about, you know, connect with 20, 30 different people per month, and transiently. That's not always we work with them continuously, but we connect with them. We do online outreach as well, where we go to different chat rooms and stuff, or we go sort of, you know, send a description of our services to different people on Craigslist, and we connect there. We have a lot of former clients that come in as well, just to maintain sort of the progression that they've had in the mainstream world, just to get that support. They trust us, so they come with the issues, because even after assimilating into the mainstream world, issues come up, depending on how long you've been in the sex trade.
Yeah.
And we see new clients that just come in for a resume here and there. They might see us once, they might see us twice. They just connect for resources or a little bit of support, or just to finally be able to disclose with someone that they trust.
The overriding goal is to remove people from prostitution, correct?
Well, this is the thing. This is why they come to Peers.
Yeah.
It's really hard when you are an exiting organization. This is what we do.
Well, what's the greatest impediment for women, say, exiting prostitution? What keeps them in?
And men, for all of them, it is the stigma around it, even if it's internal, because they actually do feel like they're labeled. They've had a lot of insults from people around them. They've been discredited in their lives as sex trade workers, so they're scared. They don't trust. It is the stigma. That is the commonality between most sex workers that do come to Peers, and we have to really break down. We don't have the time, resources, or quite honestly, interest to break down the public stigma. That just takes too much time. But for those, we humanize it. For those people who come through our door, we really understand that this is the biggest barrier. You might have amazing skills, a lot of capabilities, a lot of things that can transfer easily into the mainstream world, but you can't put sex trade worker down on a resume.
Right.
It's legal, but come on. You can't.
Well, the stigma around it is incredible, and you see it every day in the downtown east side. It's part of the reason why we had the horrors of Robert Picton, and we're going to talk about that in a second. So just expand on that just a little bit more. What's it like for, again, I'm using women as examples, but what's it like for women who have been prostituted in the past or have been involved in prostitution, trying to rejoin society, trying to get a job, trying to get, quote-unquote, ordinary relationships going in their lives? What's that like?
Well, you know, it's hard to sort of give you a quick description that's going to fit all. I think it's really important to know that, you know, sex trade workers are not a homogeneous group. They're very different. They come from very different experiences and backgrounds. So if you're talking from someone in the downtown east side who hasn't had the structural or relational supports in their life, who, due to issues of prejudice, colonization, poverty, lack of education, lack of any other options, she's going to have a very different time assimilating into the mainstream world as somebody who does have a good, strong family unit, who does have one foot in the mainstream world, if you will, with friends, with school, with opportunity. So it's going to be a very different process. Once again, like I got to tell you, when I'm trying, it's a tough sell, sex trade work. It really, really is, because of so many groups out there trying to legitimize the sex trade, which I understand. It's not illegal. It's a legal profession, and there are sex trade workers who are willing to pay the taxes, to do all that, to be able to properly live in society and be respected. Mm. That's not going to happen anytime soon, but this is what they're striving for. So when I fight for an exiting organization, it seems like I'm undermining all their work, but it is undeniable that a percentage of people in the sex trade do need specialized services in order to exit. They just do. It, for them, it has been a lifestyle. You know, so when they come to peers, we've got 6 months of comprehensive programming. To me, that's not even enough, but it's a good start. And what we do for the first 3 months is give them a lot of life skills around it, around communication skills, anger, stress, and more specifically, the reasons you entered the sex trade, what happened. You know, I think a lot of people think that it's a choice. Like when this is the only time I've had to have media attention. We've kept our heads down. We do our jobs. We've been funded. And we just make sure that we, you know, help anybody on their professional and personal goals. And that's all we do. We don't have to take a stand in the media.
Well, I also have, probably not as strong as you, but I have a big problem with the pro-sex trade advocates who try to equate prostitution with other professions, and you put your finger on it. The choice that some women are faced with. Believe me, they'd rather be doing something else.
And if you
look at the consequences of prostitution, again, we'll talk about Picton in a second. That's an extreme example, but really, I think if you're talking about government dollars, they should be focused on discouraging and getting people out of the of prostitution. That's where I come down. Now you talked about what it's like for women, and again, men trying to get out of prostitution. How do you, as an organization, gauge success?
Thank you for that question. Absolutely. First of all, I think it's grossly unfair to define our client success as immediate employment after graduation. And this has been the problem with having an employability contract. We have done our best.
We're going to get into that in a second, so don't worry about that.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Well, exiting is a process. It's not an event. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, it could be an event that triggered you to want to get out, a good event like, you know, healthy relationship, being pregnant or something, or a traumatic event like, you know, violence. So because of that, we really define it as health, as the wellness of somebody. So if you make sure the emotional, the mental, the physical, and for some the spiritual health is intact, which is what we do, then the financial health will come later. So exiting isn't immediate employability to us. It's getting somebody out of the sex trade, showing them their options, making sure they've got all the resources in the mainstream world that they can access so they will have wraparound supports. And then they start strategizing. Okay, and I need economic independence. What am I going to do?
Right.
And it's not always just, you know, $10 an hour jobs, which some are fine with that. Yeah. Absolutely. They feel they have to pay their dues. They're ready. They're able. They don't have that label on them anymore. But other people go back and either get their GED or finish their undergraduate degree. Once again, it varies. It's as vast and complex as the people in it, the sex trade.
Now, you receive the bulk of your funding from the province right now, right?
I do.
Yeah, and that funding is essentially getting pulled. That's what
exactly.
It looks like. So the provincial government wants to streamline social services with the number one goal of training people for employment. Now, on its face, that sounds great. But as you mentioned, Piers is not an employment center. You have some job training, but your primary goal is to help women exit prostitution.
That's right.
And many prostituted women, who, again, I'm using women, who've in some cases have been damaged by years on the street, abuse, addiction, they aren't ready to jump behind a desk or whatever. That's
it's
just
not
a fact.
Sustainable.
Right? So am I getting that wrong?
And no,
what doesn't
you're getting
the
that. You're right on point.
Well, what doesn't the provincial government understand about that?
Well, see, this is the thing, too. I mean, for the last 10 years, we have been supported at one time by the federal and then by the provincial government for exiting programs. The last 4 years, suddenly the focus was so much more on employability when I wrote that last proposal to the government. And I was curious, because it was a pre-employability. All the bridging to employment programs, not just the sex trade workers, we wrote position papers. We really fought to be excluded because we understand the process involved.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the BC Employment Program, the new one, mandates programs to focus on getting unemployed into any job as quickly as possible.
Right.
And this mandate includes providing the least number of services possible in the shortest time frame possible.
Mm.
This is going to do a complete disservice. And not only that, sex trade workers, it understandably, don't really trust mainstream social services with their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't disclose that you're a sex trade worker, you're able to disclose it, then people aren't going to really understand the struggles that you're having. But they are not going to do that at these ESC centers. They're not, and I understand why. They've had enough stigma, enough judgment coming their way, and people aren't going to know what to do with them. So when somebody, the minister, says, you know, this service will be offered in some form, it's fine, it appears, doesn't exist, she's really not understanding whatsoever, and it's quite a callous comment, what sex trade workers do go through.
Ty Mistry is the executive director of Piers, an organization teetering on the brink right now. Now, I mentioned Robert Picton off the top, that sadistic scumbag who murdered dozens of women. Right now in Vancouver, the Missing Women Commission of Inquiry, which should be called the Murdered Women's Inquiry, is doing its best to whitewash the entire Picton affair, in my opinion, and absolve law enforcement, the RCMP, and the VPD of any responsibility. However, we recently heard VPD Deputy Chief Doug Lepard testify that former VPD Deputy Chief John Unger referred to the missing women as, quote-unquote, just hookers. And we now know, according to an RCMP corporal, that both RCMP and VPD officers on the Missing Women Task Force watched porn and partied on the job while they should have been investigating disappearances. Now, I've been a critic of this inquiry from the beginning when the cops decided to lawyer up rather than fully participate, and it's now clear why they did. They're criminally negligent and heads should roll. Now, Ty, what's the general sense among the people you deal with every day at Piers? What's the general sense on the street? Do they feel like police are protecting them? And I'm talking now much more about downtown Eastside women and perhaps a lot of Asian immigrants in the brothels around town.
Well, it's just like they don't trust mainstream services. There's not a lot of trust with the police. There are a few officers. We have a sex trade liaison, Linda Malcolm, who's amazing mm-hmm. with the women downtown. She's a woman. She's compassionate. She always follows through what she delivers, and she does her best. She is one. But those attitudes that you heard, that we all heard, that came out today, that were so unbelievably disturbing. I really believe that's the police are supposed to protect and serve these women. So if the police are so easily dismissing of their needs and who they are and of their murders, then it scares me to imagine what public opinion is. So no, if you think in any way, I think they're rallying around and trying to do a lot of damage control. The mm-hmm. chief is actually working quite closely with nonprofits and stuff.
Good.
Obviously got to be the agenda. Absolutely, because it's a horrifying thing that happened. But if I think in any way sex workers down there are going to start feeling safer because of this or because it's even now exposed to the public, no, No, not at all.
There's a great quote on the Piers website, and I'm going to read it. It says, "I lost my soul in the sex trade, but when I came to Piers, I found my spirit. This is an important organization that helps save lives and give people back their destinies." Ty, what can folks do to support Piers and keep it open for business?
See, well, this is the thing. The public outcry has been amazing, and I really feel that our work has been validated, and people understand that, you know, there are some sex workers that do want to exit, and while in the middle of all the ambiguity of the laws and all the, you know, focus on sort of how sex work is presented and what people should feel, we're dehumanizing it and we're forgetting about the people in it. So the outcry has been great. However, the thing is, though, when I look at it, it's not merely to keep Piers doors open. A lot of people can look inside the nonprofit sector, and they do, and say, how many of these organizations are there not making a difference, just paying their staff? We have a program, and we have to look at what exiting needs to be supported, and it needs multiple year funding, core funding. I get another $150,000 from small project funding to enhance it for prevention, for public awareness, for outreach. We can do all that, but we can't exist on that alone. So governments do have to step up. Mm-hmm. I know people want to give donations and private sector might want to help here and there, but it's not merely to another couple of months. We have to offer our clients what we know will help them in the mainstream world. We can't be another support organization that's just sitting around giving them a little bit of a cheerleading pep talk when they come in, you can do it, without enrolling them in something, without providing the supports necessary to reduce the reliance on sex work. So this is the thing. Our program has to be supported and needs multiple year funding to support our infrastructure. This new model doesn't support any satellite offices infrastructure. It's a volume-based model. So instead of helping 50 properly, they expect me to help about 600 to get the same fees. Like, get them jobs, get them out. That's not what we do. It's unrealistic.
Well, hopefully Miss Christy Clark and her family's first agenda will hear those cries. Finally, very quickly, so what's next for Piers? Now, I understand that the government funds might dry up in March. Is that right?
Yes, they will. Our contract actually ends.
So what's next? I mean, are you going to try to look for alternative funding? What's going on?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mark, for asking that. For people to know, we just suddenly didn't decide we don't get the money, we're gone. For 2 years, we have hired fundraisers. We've tried to be part of this procurement process. We've written papers. We've been actively involved. We realized it was our due diligence to send out a message that we wouldn't be there for clients first and foremost, and then the community. We are hoping someone will step up. But we are working. We have a lot of people in the community writing letters, support letters and stuff. We're trying to network with the appropriate agencies to see what we can do. The city is being very active in trying to support us. So things are happening. I just don't know if anything's going to come to fruition. But I will let the community know as soon as I do.
And let me know, please, because we're going to keep on this, and the Roadkill Universe is going to see what it can do. The website is piersvancouver.com. That's Piers with two E's. Ty Mistry, the executive director of Piers, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ty Mistry for Piers. Thanks for watching, folks. I'm Mark Hashk. You are watching Roadkill Radio. See you next time. Bye-bye.